blessing he is. Praise the Lord. What a good song. Let's go ahead and look at our bulletin here for the last time on a Sunday in the month of July. We'll look at our memory verse for that month, for this month. One more time here as you open up your bulletin. On the inside, on the left panel near the bottom is where we're looking at here for the month of July. We'll say the reference together if we can, if you would. And then we'll share the verse together and we'll go through it a couple of times. But let's go ahead and share July's memory verse. Let's begin with the reference, please. Galatians 5, 13, 14. Ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Once more, please. Galatians 5, 13 and 14. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thank you very much. You can set that aside. We're going to look at that verse again because there's a phrase in one of those verses that we're going to consider tonight in the Word of God. First of all, we're going to start in 1 Timothy. Would you go there? 1 Timothy chapter 3, and we're going to look at verse number 15 to start with. We're going to look at, there's word studies and there's phrase studies, and we're going to look at a phrase throughout the New Testament here specifically that God wants us to consider tonight. And we're going to read to get started in 1 Timothy chapter 3, where the phrase is not in this verse, but it prepares us, I believe, to help us as we're going to look at it together. Verse number 15 of 1 Timothy 3 says this, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." Here, the New Testament church, when I say New Testament, I speak of the church that we read about in the book of Acts and following, that accepts Christ as Savior, that shares His truth and His commission and so forth, that trusts what God says is true, follows what Jesus says in the Gospels, and preaches about Him. That's the New Testament church. That's the New Testament church. And by the way, God has not given another testament for the church since then. So we still have the scripture, the truth of God's word, for our church today. The New Testament church follows which testament? The New Testament. That does not mean that we throw the Old Testament aside. What does God tell us in the New Testament about what we read in the Old? They're there for our example. They are those things, and history are there for us to learn more about the Lord and put into practice in our lives. But the New Testament church, the Bible says, is a place that God has a special heart for. In fact, he calls it here in 1 Timothy the house of God. Now we know that the church is the people. The church is the people, but when we gather together, that means there's a location that we gather together. When we are together, as we act between one another, this is what I believe he's talking about, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The New Testament church is a local assembly of baptized believers who have voluntarily joined themselves together to carry out Christ's great commission and anything else he commands to do. That's what God's talking to today, and that's what we are today. Amen? That's what we need to be. And here he says, I want to give you some thoughts on how to behave. The phrase I want to show you tonight, or we're going to look together, and we're not going to read every single one of them, but there's quite a few we're going to look at. The phrase is this, and we read it in our memory verse, one another, one another. What is the Bible talking about when he refers to, and we'll hear from all the epistles as well as the pastoral epistles and so forth, what is God telling us, and Jesus himself too, how to behave with one another as we gather together in the New Testament church? Well, let's take some moments to do that. Before we do, would you bow with me? I'll pray, and we'll ask God to help us as we look in His Word tonight. Heavenly Father, thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for the way Your Holy Spirit recorded for us through men, and now we have it preserved for us today, word for word in our language. We pray, God, that You would use it in our heart and mind. Help us to be open, Lord, to what You have us to do and to say. I pray, Father, these things will not just encourage us, but comfort us, perhaps even exhort us, as one of them says, admonish us, Lord, that You might get the glory through the things of our church and our local body here. We pray, God, that You would get the glory through all things said and done tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The New Testament church. Again, born again, accepted Christ as Savior, not based on anything else but what Jesus did on the cross for salvation, following the Lord in believers' baptism and joining together. And we often call that in the fundamental Baptist realm, if you can say that, the local church, which simply means we can see one another. We're visible to one another. So that's what we're looking at tonight. Let's take a look at some one another's throughout the New Testament here. Let's start in Romans chapter 12. So, if you don't know the different books in the Bible, you are going to learn them tonight. Amen. We're going to take a walk through the New Testament and for our church to help us what the Bible tells us. First of all, Romans chapter 12, looking at verse number 5. So I'll start out by telling you this. We're going to look at 12 one another's. 12 one another's. And that's not all of them. But 12 for the New Testament church in the Bible. The first one we find in verse number 5. Here's what it says. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. One of another. Here the Bible tells us very simply, be members of one another. Be members one of another, as the Bible says. Ephesians 4, verse 25 says the same. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What does that mean to be members one of another? Well, to act familiar with each other. Act like you know each other. Instead of behaving like, oh, I don't know who you are. That's not the way that God's word has for the local body of believers. Hey, there's people in other churches who are great people that I don't know. And that's okay, but I'm here with you. You're my local body of believers that God wants me to worship, to serve, to reach others with, to pray together, all those things. Be members, act familiar. And one of the ways he says to be familiar is just be honest. In Ephesians 4, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another, and be honest before one another. Act familiar, be members one of another. Number two, 1 Peter chapter 4. Let's go there. So I gave you the number so that you know when we'll be done. Amen? We'll see. Maybe the Holy Spirit has some more information for us. 1 Peter chapter 4. Take a look. Verse number 10 is where we want to go. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse number 10. Here's what it says. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now here, if we just read that verse in particular, we would miss some of the other information. But here's the statement. Use spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit uses through us to share God's grace with one another. As every man hath received the gifts. Now, what gifts is he talking about? If you're in chapter 4, take a look here. He starts in verse number 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, etc. Use spiritual gifts to share God's grace with one another. Here he shares with us to watch, to pray, hospitality, that's caring for one another and encouraging one another at home or helping other places to help reach the needs of people. And he goes on to verse number 11. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So preaching and teaching is also included in those things. Many gifts that the Holy Spirit shares. We looked at that on a Wednesday night study. And it's fascinating what God wants to use through our people in our church. But God says, use them with grace in your heart, with God's grace in mind as we minister to one another. Use spiritual gifts to share God's grace with one another. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5. Let's go there. And again, I think this will sound familiar to us tonight. Galatians chapter 5, number 3. Starting in verse number 13, if you want to look there, Galatians 5, verse number 13, says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another." Serve one another. This is the statement. Serve one another with an attitude of love. With an attitude of love. You ever done something without love? If you breathe oxygen, you've done something without love. We've done it out of duty. Sometimes we've done it out of we're forced to, or we're in a corner, etc. But God says around the church with one another, make a decision to do what you do out of love. He says, this helps us, if you look at verse 15, this helps us guard the congregation from self-destruction. That's what I see here in verse 15. He says, if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. Listen, there's plenty of horses that are trying to destroy Grace Baptist Church. We don't need to be one of them. Amen? We shouldn't be one of them. So God says, serve one another with an attitude of love. Number 4, we're staying in Galatians chapter 6. Chapter 6, take a look. In verse number 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. He says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." So here's number 4, pretty simple. Bear one another's burdens to help, and what's the word there in verse 1? To restore. Bear one another's burdens to help to restore one to Christ. That's what God wants us to be, close to the Savior. When someone's not there, God says, you need to come alongside and try to help them get back. Get back. And that, again, shows a act of love. But God says he wants us to be back. And what are we supposed to be doing when Christ Jesus told us in the Gospels to abide in him? To abide as if he feels at home in us. That there's nothing to be held back from as Jesus lives through us. And God says he wants us to bear one another's. This is part of the Christian life in the local church. Bear one another's burdens to help restore one to Christ. This can be this does not have to be necessarily something that is sinful, but certainly that is an example. If sin has drawn someone away, hey, let's get back around and bring them back to Christ, help them to get back on the right track. It can also be a time of sorrow, of sorrow. If you've grieved over someone who's passed away, you know you're not the person you usually are when you're in that time. And God says you can come along, or somebody can come along and help in that time of need. Bear one another's burdens to help restore one to Christ. Number 5, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go there. Ephesians in chapter 4. And we're looking at verse 31 and 32. Ephesians 4, number 5 says in verse 31, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. The Bible talks about the bitterness, the wrath, the anger, and replace that with what? Forgiveness. So that's the statement. Replace hurt, and here he uses all evil speaking, etc. Replace hurt and evil with forgiving one another. That's easy, right? No, it's not easy. But God says, I can help you do that. I can help you live that. That's the Christian life. It's not the unsaved life. It's the Christian life. That's a decision we have to make if we want to see God work in our church to bear or to replace that hurt and evil with forgiving one another. Now, by the way, if you know that you've been the hurt and evil one, the one who did it, here's what you need to do. You need to go ask for forgiveness. If someone asks you, you need to give forgiveness. Accept their request. And just as God, the Bible says, he goes on to say, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Number six. Colossians chapter 3. Trying to go, I tried to go from the beginning towards the end, but we'll see. Colossians chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse number 16. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now the one another is tied to a specific word. The word is admonishing. Admonishing. To admonish means to warn, to counsel against wrong, to reprove with care. One Bible dictionary said to reprove with mildness. Now, I don't know what that means exactly, but doesn't mean jump down their throat, but be clear, where you're headed is destruction. Where you're going is destructive. Admonish one another. Here's the statement. Admonish one another with a gracious heart toward Christ. He says in this verse, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You know what? I praise the Lord for my parents. They tried to teach me right, but my parents can't teach me right. That's not their responsibility to make me do right. Their responsibility was to teach me. And it's not my responsibility to make you or you me do right. It is to tell one another, though, at times, to forewarn, as the Bible here talks about admonishing one another. In other parts of Scripture, we read these words to rebuke, reproach, etc. Not all the same, but similar in the effect of there's a warning of what's coming. There's a warning to destruction that's coming. Consider that. So here, admonish one another with a gracious heart to Christ. Number seven. Hebrews chapter 10. Let's go there. Hebrews chapter 10. We're looking at verse number 24 here. Verse 24. Well, let me start with verse 23. It says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Here's the statement. Number seven, be thoughtful in motivating one another to love and to good works. To love and to good works. We're in the church together. There's things to do, but not everybody knows exactly what to do. So God says, hey, I'm going to help you by sharing with somebody else. This is what's needed. This is what's not. And I'll give you an example that just popped in my head. Someone shared with me that the ladies' bathroom needed a mirror. And I thought, they already got two mirrors. What do they need another one for? And she said to me, and I won't tell you who it was, but she said, you know, it would be helpful because some of our ladies aren't able to tell when they come out of the bathroom. How appropriate that they may not be. It's not that anybody's trying to, but they're able not, they can't see what's going on. So praise the Lord. Somebody told me, here's what they need. And we did it. And we did it. I hope it's helpful, ladies. I hope it is. We need that in the men's room now, don't we? But the point is this, good works don't have to be some spectacular thing that everybody in the world has to know. It's simply for the operation of the church so that it can honor and live and move for Christ. That's the good works. And to do it, the Bible says, to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good works. Number eight. James chapter 4, that's where we're going to go. So we'll keep going here. James chapter 4. Let's look at verse number 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. And this is a simple one too. It says right there at the beginning, speak not evil of one another. This brings to mind with the thought that God says he does not want us to speak evil. Avoid any unwholesome talk about one another or to one another. What can that include? Gossip, slander, false accusations, things like that. But to avoid unwholesome talk that would affect one another. Does that mean that if sin is rampant in a person's life, we should just not say anything? Not necessarily, no. But I'm here to tell you, the first thing the Bible tells us that Jesus says, if you understand someone is in offense to God, what's the first thing we should do? We should go to that person. God always starts with one-on-one. And can I tell you this? Jesus has some good advice for us in regards to how we speak about one another. Would you go to John chapter 21? John chapter 21, Jesus was getting ready to ascend. He was giving final instructions to his disciples. And one of his disciples, I don't know if he was telling all of them about their future, but Peter was one of them. John chapter 21. Let's take a look. This is the passage here of one of them in John chapter 21, where Jesus meets with Peter there by the water, by the sea, and he asks him the three questions. Lovest thou me? And then he tells him, feed my lambs. Lovest thou me? Verse 16, feed my sheep. And then he says, lovest thou me? Verse 17, feed my sheep again. Let me start with verse 18, and then we'll finish up the rest of the chapter. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. So what was he telling Peter? There's going to come a time you're not able to take care of yourself. In fact, this gives us the indication that he's going to have to rely on God and perhaps die for him. That's God's plan for him. And he did. By tradition, we don't read that in the Bible. We don't read about Peter's death or Paul's death. We read about a few others in the Bible who were martyred for Christ. But history tells us that he died as a martyr for Christ. Look at verse 20. Then Peter, turning about, seeth disciple whom Jesus loved. Who is that? That's John. Following which also leaned on his breast, that is on Jesus, at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? So Peter just got some news that probably wasn't too happy to hear. Have you ever got news like that? And he was like, this is what I imagine, okay? This is my thought in it. He was thinking, why am I the only one who's got to deal with this? What about him? Does he get things better than me? Is life better for him or death better for him? Notice what Jesus says. And folks, let's not forget this. Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, notice this phrase, what is that to thee? Then what does he tell him? follow me. Follow me. Get your eyes off of John. Get your eyes off of this or that. And get your eyes on me. Follow me. That helps us to speak not evil of one another. That helps us. Number nine. Let's go to James again. James chapter 5. And verse 16. He says this, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth, availeth much. Number nine, confess, which means simply agree your faults one to another. Again, personal, private, promptly. Personal, private, promptly. You know, can I talk to you for a second? This is what happened. Can you explain this to me? Because it was an offense, or it bothers me. Can you tell me this? And etc. Personal. Here's the reason why you start out personal, private, and prompt. How many have ever had a fire before? You've been to a campfire. What if that campfire jumped outside of the rocks or whatever it is that you're containing the fire with? What happens to it? We call it eventually a wildfire. Wildfire. And we seem to know a little bit about what can happen with big wildfires here, even from hundreds of miles away. Remember, was it almost 2 weeks ago now, I guess, all that smoke from Canada and so forth. From Canada, folks, not from the UP, from Canada made its way down to us. Here's the point. Fires go wild when they are not put out quickly. And the Bible even says the tongue is like a fire that a little fire kindleth. That's why it says, confess your faults one to another. Agree. Have agreement. Get it settled. Let God continue to move us on. Number nine. Number 10. We're getting close. Number 10. Romans chapter 14. Let's take a look there. I'm going to start in verse 17 in Romans 14 and read to verse 19 in Romans chapter 14. Here's what it says. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. The Bible here telling us, number 10, here's the statement, to edify or build up one another spiritually. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another, to build. Not to flatter. Build up does not mean to flatter one another. But it does mean help us draw closer to Jesus. Help us draw more into what the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding through His Word. Help us to follow what God says so that we can better serve Him together at our church. God says He wants us to build one another in a spiritual sense, to help out in that process. Why would He want the church to help build each other? Let me ask you, is there anybody out there trying to help you build each other? That's why God says, as a body, work together to build one another closer to the Lord in serving Christ, as He said, and acceptable to God. Number 11. Let's take a look. We're still in Romans. Chapter number 12. Let's go back a few pages here. Chapter 12 and verse 16. Oh, here we go. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now go to chapter 15, please. Chapter 15, verse 5. He repeats this phrase, verse 5 and 6. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have the same, here's what the Bible says, the same mind one toward another. What does that mean? That means having the same purpose, a common goal that God sets out for you and me, that we all get on God's wagon and we follow it and we continue it together. The same purpose, a common goal, common plan, like-mindedness as God leads and directs. Have the same mind one toward another. Then the last one, right? That was number 11, the last one. Let's go to John 13. We'll start there, John chapter 13. Of all the times that the New Testament talks about one another for the New Testament church, there's one particular word that comes up more than any others. More than any others. And before we get to John 13, I'll give you a chance to guess what it is. What's the one word connected to one another more than any other with the phrase one another in the New Testament? What would you think it is? Let's take a look. John 13. John 13. Are you correct? John 13, verse 34, that's where we want to go. Jesus said this, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." Let me give you some other references. We'll go, if you want to meet me there in 1 John chapter 3, I'll meet you there, but let me give you some others. Romans 13, 8, "Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law." 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." 1 Thessalonians 4, 9, "But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another." 1 Peter 1, verse 22, "Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit and unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently." Are you in 1 John chapter 3? Let's take a look. We'll start with verse number 11. Verse number 11. The Bible says in verse 11, "For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Verse 23, same chapter, take a look. "And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ and love one another as he gave us commandment." 1 John chapter 4, let's go there. We're going to look at three verses here. Verse number 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Verse 11, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." And we'll finish with verse 12, and let's read that one together. Verse number 12, let's read verse 12 of 1 John 4 together. "No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." I kind of get this idea that God has, if you can't do anything else with each other, love one another. Love one another. Because what does he say about love in other passages of Scripture? It what? It covers a multitude. That does not mean it excuses every sin, but it does have a mercy and grace to it that without it, it doesn't. We don't have that with one another. God says he wants us to love one another. This is not an exhaustive list, by the way. There are many other one another's that God wants his church to consider. But I hope this helps us. I hope this helps us. Let's go over the list real quick again before we close. Number one, be members one of another. Act familiar. Use spiritual gifts, number two, to share God's grace with one another. Watch and pray. He mentions hospitality, the preaching and teaching of God's word. Number three, serve one another with an attitude of love. This guards the congregation from self-destruction. Bear one another's burdens to help restore one to Christ. Help bring them back to abiding in Jesus. Replace hurt and evil, number four, with forgiving one another. Number five, admonish one another with a gracious heart to Christ. Warn, counsel against wrong, reprove with care. Be thoughtful in motivating one another to love and to good works. Speak not evil one of another. Avoid any unwholesome talk. Number 9, confess, agree with your faults one to another. Fires go wild when they are not put out quickly. Number 10, build up one another spiritually so that we might be a service in our service and righteousness to God and Christ. Number 11, have the same mind toward one another, same purpose, common goal. And then number 12, love one another. I encourage you to go look at some more. There's others in the New Testament that God can maybe encourage you with. But I think that's enough to get started. Amen? That's a lot to do. If we just did all these things, you know what? There's still room to grow. There's still room for God to work. But let's strive to obey what we know. Amen? To obey what He shares with us. Heavenly Father, I pray for Grace Baptist Church, Lord. But I also pray for any other churches that are striving to obey and honor You, the Lord Jesus Christ, to follow Your word. I pray tonight, Lord, we would see these things as not suggestions. We would see them as priorities and the way we deal with each other. And I pray, Father, You'd be in our relationships here. I pray, Father, you'd help our congregation to grow so that we can continue to grow with many other one another's, Lord. And so we ask for Your help tonight. Show us where we're at. Is there any one of these things that we need to consider more than others? Maybe things that You want to work in our own hearts about. I pray, Lord, You'd get the glory through this time of invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. Would you stand with me? Would you stand with heads bowed and eyes closed? I'm going to ask the piano to softly play. The song will sing in just a moment. When she begins to play, if God's spoken to you about any of these things or anything else that He's put on your heart tonight and He wants to hear from you, don't wait. Go to Him now. You can come up the front, make it a big deal, but right there where you're at, God certainly can listen to what you have to say. But let Him hear what He wants to hear through you. And give Him what He says is best for your life. As she begins to play, would you respond? Number 369. Let's turn there. Let's sing that first verse. If God's moving, why don't you move with Him? But let's go ahead and sing that first verse as Brother Doug comes to lead. Thank you. one another. Amen. We're going to have a business meeting here shortly, and we'll pray. We'll close with prayer, but let's practice these things. Amen. Let's practice these things. God didn't put them in His Word for nothing. He put them in His Word for us. So let's do what He says. Good to have Daryl with us. It's been a long time. I think are you visiting tonight, brother?
Seems like it.
Yeah. But continue to pray for Brother Daryl and Loretta as they're getting back to 100%. Would you close our service with prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. And then we'll take about 5 minutes or so, and we'll meet back for the meeting after that.